Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1839, author Edward Bulwer Lytton, in his play Richelieu, or The Conspiracy, coined the phrase, "The pen is mightier than the sword." And while this phrase has become much more known than Bulwer Lytton ever has, it wasn't the first such phrase of its kind. Going all the way back to 1582, George Whetstone wrote this. He said, "The dash of a pen is more glorious than the counterbase of a lance." And Shakespeare, in his play, which many of you probably studied in high school at some point, Hamlet, 1602, had the character of Rosencrantz say this, "Many wearing rapiers are afraid of goose quills and dare scarce come thither." Then in 1621, Robert Burton, in his book The Anatomy of Melancholy, wrote, "From this it is clear how much more cruel the pen may be than the sword." And finally, even America's own Thomas Jefferson, sending a letter to Thomas Paine in 1796, wrote this, "Go on doing with your pen what in other time has been done with a sword." The point made by all of these men is that words are dangerous and they are lethal. In fact, in many cases, words, whether spoken or written, are more dangerous and powerful than even the thrust of a sword. For while a sword might pierce a man's flesh, words can pierce a man's heart and soul and mind. Thus, in our text today from James, we have the warning. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. And if ever you doubt the power of words, you need look no further than to some of the great speeches given by men of history. Men such as Adolf Hitler or Dr. Martin Luther King. With mere words, Hitler convinced the nation to hate those who were different than themselves. And with mere words, Dr. King inspired a nation to love and respect those who were different than themselves. The power of words to tear down or to build up, to destroy or encourage, to take life or to give life, cannot and must not be over or underestimated or overlooked. And thus, while your mother may have taught you a long time ago that sticks and stones may break your bones, but names can never hurt you, it just isn't true. One short look at the number of young people these days who have attempted suicide because of cyberbullying that they have received online will bear out rather quickly how much names and words can hurt people. In his explanation to the second commandment, Martin Luther wrote this, "We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks." And then Solomon in Proverbs 15 stated, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So it is that God has given us the power to build people up or to tear them down, to inspire or to confound, to help or to hurt, to console or to inflame. And thus each and every day, each and every one of us has the power to make a significant impact in the lives of the people with whom we come in contact. And that impact can be positive or it can be negative, depending upon the words that we choose to speak. Unfortunately, as noted by James, too often we don't speak words of affirmation, but of condemnation. Too often we don't control our tongue, because in our sin, we've never really learned to tame our tongue. Too often the words that flow from our mouths are words of gossip and judgment and ridicule and pride and selfishness and falsehood. Too often our words are much more reflective of Satan than they are of our Savior. And that's why we come before the Lord each and every Sunday and we say to Him in our confession, Lord, have mercy on me, a poor, sinful being. Because no matter what other area of life that we might have mastered, no matter how many of the commandments that we have started to get a handle on, no matter how good and faithful of servant we might be for God, you and I will never tame our tongue. From last Sunday to this Sunday, perhaps even from yesterday to today, we have each said something that we shouldn't have said. And here we are today, here in God's house, singing His praises, calling on Him in prayer, with the same tongue that only yesterday spoke lies and shared gossip. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Who will rescue us from these deceitful and poisonous tongues? Jesus Christ will. He already has by His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. He loves us and forgives us, though we don't deserve it, though we will never deserve it. He loves us and forgives us, even though we keep on sinning, even after He's forgiven us and redeemed us. He loves us and forgives us even though we know better. And we still go and do and we say things that we know we shouldn't do and say. So great is His love for us. And so complete was His sacrifice for us. And so certain is His victory for us that you and I can live in peace, peace with ourselves, despite this restful or restless evil known as a tongue that resides within each one of us. We can be at peace with ourselves because we know that God has forgiven us, and that we are His redeemed children. Philippians chapter 4, St. Paul wrote this. He said, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I think we could apply this same exhortation to our speech in order to bridle our tongue. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, speak only such things. If we do that, if we put a bit in our mouths by putting that checklist into our brains, though we may never fully tame our tongue, we will greatly bridle it. And in so doing, our words will more readily reflect the love of our Savior who redeemed us rather than the lies of the devil who deceived us. May we thus speak such words to each other of encouragement and edification to the glory of God for the building of His kingdom. In the name of Jesus our Savior, amen.